Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
It's great to have you here on Sunday morning. We had a bit of fun last night, being Saturday night, and it wasn't because we were sitting down and watching the election results unfold. Our Saturday night service is well and truly underway, and just a lot of fun is had on a Saturday night. So it certainly went off on a couple of random tangents, so we'll just see what happens this morning. But one of the things I am looking forward to now that the election is over is that I don't have YouTube Premium. I only have like the stock standard. I don't know if you've noticed, but I listen to a lot of my worship stuff through YouTube and whatever, and just a playlist. But they've moved from one ad to two. Have you noticed that? No. Okay. Well, anyway, they used to have one ad, but now they have two. But leading up to the election, it was just nothing but all the kind of like the campaign, all the different parties and things like that. So I'm certainly looking forward to not having to sit through those or wait 5 seconds and skip that again. But like, it's interesting, isn't it, that like, you know, there are so many promises made. Some of them pretty grandiose and big, and I don't want to burst your bubble, but who knows that, you know, they probably won't fulfill all their promises. It's like they make these grand promises, and what do those promises revolve around? They revolve around this idea and notion that we want to make Australia better than what it currently is or has been. And there's this kind of idea that we want to make Australia greater, or great again, I don't know, whichever, but want to make Australia great. And so there's all this rhetoric around promises of what's going to deliver. And we know that people let us down. That political parties, employers, people, relationships, just people in general, they're going to let us down. But the Bible says that God's promises, as many as He has made, they are yes and amen in Jesus. So if we're going to hold on to anything, church, we should just always hold on to what the Word of God has to say. His promises, He will not fail, He will not forsake. If you're in the middle of a trial right now, regardless of what you're facing, may I remind you the same God that was faithful the last time you faced a trial will be faithful again in the midst of this one. We might think that we can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, but God is the light in the tunnel and at the end of the tunnel. It was before the tunnel, and He is bigger. And my prayer this morning is that we would just get a fresh revelation of the bigness and the greatness of our God. Because our understanding of who God is will determine our belief in what that God can do. And so if we are facing a big problem right now, I don't mean to diminish or minimize your problem, but I've got good news for you today that our God is bigger than what you're facing. And our God is actually bigger than the feelings that you feel towards that problem. So even though the feelings can be overwhelming and we can be led and driven by our feelings, we've got to come back to what the Word of God has to say, and that there is nothing that's impossible for our God. That He can work all things together for our good, for those who love Him. Because in church life, I don't know, if you've been around church life for a little while, if you listen to enough podcasts, you'll hear that language of like, your best is yet to come. And like, there is more. It's almost like, you know, they're just kind of like cliches. I don't want that to be a cliche. My title of this message, there is more, but why? Why would we even say that? So when I'm talking about there is more for your life, there is more for us as a church community, can we please not be so superficial and fickle to think that I'm only talking about financial, materialistic things? That's a small part of the overall bigness of God's blessing that He has for you and your life. God is interested in every realm and sphere and facet of your life, and He desires that you would continue to grow and expand in Him. And I honestly believe your best is yet to come. You see, God has given us this innate desire. You notice that there are certain drives. Some of them are part of our autonomic system, which means that we just do them automatically without thinking about them. Like, isn't it good that we don't have to think about breathing? It just happens. Please don't stop. And our heart, just generally, apart from medical conditions that affect that, will just keep being part of our respiratory rate, heartbeat, etc. All part of that just happens. But there are other desires that we have that we experience something that we want more. That, you know, whether it's like in the as God has created and ordained sex for within marriage, that it's something that's something so beautiful and it's wonderful, that's experienced, but then you desire more. And whether it's something else in life, there's a drive, there's something that God has put inside of us. And God has said that he's set eternity in the hearts of man, so there's this yearning, this desire to have that filled. And of course, we know that people try to fill that with different things that leave them empty, leave them void, searching for more instant gratification that will never actually fulfill or meet that need. It's only Jesus Christ that can meet that need, that he's the water that we drink of and will never thirst again. He's the bread of life that we can feed on and will never hunger again. That's where real satisfaction and fulfillment comes in. So if we can somehow channel that desire for more into him, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and loving the Lord my God with all my heart and strength, all the other things, he says, will fall into place. And so it's like, I want to say to us this morning, church, that there is more. Turn the person next to you and say, there's more for you. Now, just say it like you mean it. Because you've all just slipped into cliche mode. It's like, by the end of today, I hope that you're going to actually start to really get a fresh revelation. And at the end of the day, really, I know for a fact, it doesn't matter what talking head is up here in front of you today. It makes jack difference unless the Holy Spirit takes something and you open your heart to some revelation of what God is wanting to speak to you and wants to reveal something to you. I really believe that the Holy Spirit is wanting to speak to every single person in this room. No exceptions. No exceptions. So is your heart open? I just simply ask that, you know what? We're going to create, hopefully, what will be a platform for the Holy Spirit to be launched off of and for our hearts to be open to receive what it is that he's wanting to say to us this morning. Because God's got more. God's got more for you, but he's got more for us as a church family. We've created space with a Saturday night for God to fill. But that's not just going to happen if we don't actually participate and be co-workers with Christ to see the harvest won. Because there's 151,000 plus residents in the city of Glen Ira alone, let alone the surrounding cities that we're neighbouring. And if you think about it for a second, in any realm of schooling or education, 10% is not a pass. But yet, if we talk about the church, not just Compass, but the other Bible-believing churches in the city of Glen Ira, having over 15,000 people every week, born again, filled with the Spirit, loving Jesus, living lives, glorifying him, that's 10%, that's 15,000. The city of Glen Ira, we're not near that yet, church. There is more. So when I talk about there is more, I'm not just talking about that God wants it, talking into a bless me club. I'm not talking about the cars, the house, the cash. I'm not talking about the blessing. I'm talking about his kingdom come, his will be done here on earth. There is more. God has got more for us. Amen? You ready? Okay, so what I'm going to try to do this morning is I want us to actually get a kind of like just a reminder for a lot of us in this room, looking around this room. There's a lot of people in this room that you've been a Christian for some time. I don't want us to get stuck in our past experiences, but I want us to remain open to fresh revelation to the bigness and how great our God is to go, oh my gosh, I kind of forgot. And I'm going to leave this place today with just a reminder of just how big, how great, how incredible, how amazing our God is. That God has got more for me. He's got more for my marriage. He's got more for my family. He's got more for my neighbors, my mum, my dad, my kids. He's got more for the people that I work with than what I could actually even dare to dream or imagine. I love that. Very Pentecostal. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably above and beyond what we could dare to dream or imagine. So, I don't know who the biggest dreamer is in this room. I'd like to think I'm in that category. Dreamer, nothing but a dreamer. Who sang that, Supertramp? Way before my time. How did I even remember that? There's a certain section over here just going, who is what? Super who? Whatever. But even the biggest dreamer in this room, I can just see this picture, this little conversation between Jesus and whoever that might be in this room, and Jesus just smiling at you, just going, that is so cool. But guess what? I can do even more. But Jesus, do you know how big my dream is? Yeah. But I'm able to do immeasurably abundantly above and beyond what you can even dream of. So I can dream even bigger? Yep. See, some of us, like we get caught in past experience or we get caught in our comfortability like Tracy spoke about this morning, whether that's personally in our salvation, but even bigger in the mission that we have to reach our community, our city, and the nations, that we think that, wow, we've got a nice comfy building, let's get comfortable, let's get safe in this space, and we're not going to... God has got more. And some of you would just go, well, a church of, I'm not saying that God's called us to be a church of 15,000 people. Numbers don't drive me at all. They used to, I'll be honest, they used to, but not anymore. We're about big people, not a big church, because if you grow into who God has called you to be, you're going to impact your world. If you leave this place today with the revelation that I believe is possible through the Holy Spirit, bringing that to your life, you're going to impact people's lives this week. Okay, sounds good. I'm glad you're excited about that. Does anyone want to impact the people around you? But Phil, you don't know what's going on in my life. I don't need to know what's going on in my life. What you need to know is who God is. He is bigger than what you're facing. So, let's try and get into this. Psalm 33, verse 6 says, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth." Simply by God speaking. Simply by God speaking, all that we see and is around us came into existence. That is a phenomenal thought. That blows my mind. Jeremiah 32, 17 says, "Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you." Nothing is too hard for you. Are you facing hardship today? Are you facing the hardship, because every season of life has its challenges, but are you facing the hardship of success, where you're kind of like a living in the harvest of what you've sown in years gone by, and so now you're trying to live with the burden, if you like, of success, and you go, God, what do I do with that? It seems so hard. What do I do with this and the pressures that are coming with that? Nothing is too hard for him. Are you facing a hardship in the area of your health? Nothing is too hard for him. Because if my understanding of the cross is correct, it means that Jesus Christ paid the price for sin in totality. Also, by his stripes, we are healed. That what he endured throughout the punishment of the cross, his death, burial, and his victory and resurrection, is that whatever we face, whatever disease, illness, sickness that we face, whatever nature, is subject to the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. Nothing is too hard for our God. Is that the God you believe in? Or is your problem too big for God? That's going to change before you leave this place today. Psalm 139, really good. But what the premise of that psalm is that God is everywhere. He's omnipresent, is the Christianese term we have for that. That God is everywhere. And the psalmist writes, "Where can I go to hide? Nowhere." You can run, but you can't hide, church. You can run, but you can't hide. Not because we should be scared, but because his love relentlessly pursues us. Up to the heavens, you're there. The depths of the earth, you're there. Oceans deep, wide, he's there. We cannot escape. He's everywhere. God is everywhere. Colossians 1:17 in the New Living Translation says this: "He existed before anything else." Has anyone ever tried to imagine eternity? Have you ever tried to do that forever and ever, 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 ever? It hurts your head, doesn't it? When you try to imagine what forever is like, it just hurts. But God was before the forever, and he was before that forever, because he's just been forever. That hurts my head. But he existed before anything else. And have a listen to this. And he holds all creation together. Hebrews 1:3 says he holds the universe together by his word. So there's just some foundational scriptures for this message, that there is more, but why? There is more, but why? You see, Genesis 1-3 teaches us that there was nothing, it was formless and void, and God spoke, and what we see around us came into existence. Doesn't that blow your mind? That the God of Scripture is so powerful, all he has to do and speak, out of nothing comes something. I love that, because out of my life, he can make something beautiful. Out of your mess, he can take your mess and he can turn it into cliche message. That's our incredible God, though. It doesn't matter what you're facing. All it can take is just one word. Just get a word from God. Get a word from God. Get a hold of one of his promises. For any problem that you're facing, there is a promise that you can hold on to, that it is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And he can turn your problem into an opportunity for his glory. So we see that God is able to, just through speaking the words, is able to see creation come into matter. I mean, that's what the Bible would teach us, that God shaped and formed over the period of a week. And I'm not here to debate, discuss creation theories around you, but what I hold to certainly is that there was nothing and God spoke and things came into existence and came into order. And it's as we know it. But we know that there's been some contrasting theories over the year. And I emphasize their theories because my limited understanding of science, and I'll probably stand corrected by the scientists in the room, and I don't mean to offend any scientists here today, but a theory is simply a theory. But some scientists stand up and they claim theory like it's fact and we believe it. Or we actually kind of like, if we're told enough that this theory is the best thing we've got to explain a situation, even though there's no evidence to back up that theory, we accept it to be fact. Can I just, church, please think. Can, even with what I'm saying, any Sunday, any given Sunday, please, for the love of God, think. Take what we say, whoever stands up here, which we take the responsibility serious, take it away and measure it up against the Word of God. In your life group, and just pull it apart and wrestle with it. Because when the crap hits the fan for you, it's not going to matter what Pastor Phil thinks. It's going to matter what you're building your life on. And so it's got to be your own revelation. Do I believe this stuff that these talking heads up the front are actually talking about? I'm referring to a lot of old school bands this morning. You notice that? Anyone remember Talking Heads? Anyway, where did that come from? Jesus, help me. Get back here. Where are we? Theories, right? So there's these theories, right? That the original, there was a theory that like the universe was eternal. And the reason why that kind of like got momentum was that if the universe was eternal, there was no need for a creator. There was no need for God because eternity being such a long time, it meant that the right circumstances and situations would arise in eternity at some point to create and provide the right environment for life to actually develop and form randomly. Does that make sense? No? Stay with me, all right? I know it's Sunday morning. I am going to ask you to think for a little bit. But these scientists held to this theory that the universe was eternal. But at the turn of last century, there was a couple of scientists noticed that there were galaxies would appear that they were actually receding. They were actually going further and further away from each other. And then this phenomenal mind that they're still trying to work out some of his theories, Einstein, anyone heard of him? Came up with the general theory of relativity, and he started to discover that, hey, the universe is actually expanding. And then Mr. Hubble, that great scientist, which the Hubble kind of is named after, started to actually measure the light that came from galaxies, and we received it, noticing at different times there was a slightly different wavelength to that light that was coming. So therefore, the distance that was measured through the light traveling to us that we were getting was different than when they measured it again. So therefore, there was a change in distance was required. So they had proven that the universe was actually expanding. Are you with me? Welcome to Science 101 this morning. Who thought they were coming to school this morning? No, it's all right. Hang in there. But you see, the logic is that if something was expanding, it had to have a starting point. But the theory had been that the universe was eternal. There was no need for God. But suddenly all these scientists are up in arms because suddenly if the universe was expanding, it had to start somewhere. And that's where the theory of the Big Bang came from. The universe actually does have a starting point. That threw all the scientists into chaos and they actually started to kind of really had to reevaluate their theories and come up with new theories. Now it's really hard to evaluate the universe because you can't fit the universe in a lab. And we don't have another universe to compare it to. So it's a really hard, the universe is a really hard thing to actually investigate and to do tests and experiments on. But what they began to realize, regardless of, there's an astronomer by the name of Hugh Ross. He says that although there are many competing models and theories on the Big Bang event, each with its own details, they all agree on two basic premises. This will make sense. So if there was a Big Bang, it means that there had to be a starting point, right? There had to be a starting point for that Big Bang. And they all agree that the universe is expanding, okay? So they'll all agree on that. And this guy, this astronomer, well-respected astronomer, would actually argue that both of these principles are taught in Scripture. They've been in Scripture for thousands of years, and the scientists are finally starting to catch up. He says the Bible prophets and apostles state explicitly the two fundamental properties of the Big Bang, that a transcendent cosmic beginning happened at a finite period of time ago, and a universe undergoing general continual expansion. See, in Isaiah 42:5, it says, this is what the Lord says, he who created the heavens and stretched them out. This is what the Lord says. He is the one that created the heavens. He is the starting point, and that he is stretching them out. And there's 11 other reference scriptures that would use exactly the same words, that the Lord stretching out the universe. So it's been in scripture the whole time along. You see, but this really messed with the scientists that said that the universe was eternal. Now they have to come up with a whole bunch of new theories originating in the Big Bang. Now, I'm not here to say that I agree or disagree with the Big Bang. It's a complex matter. There's no doubt about that. That requires good discussion. But what I do know what the Bible has to say about creation. But what it meant for these scientists is they had to go back to the drawing board, and then they had to actually come up with other theories around the Big Bang to actually leave God out of the equation. Because we would say that the Bible clearly states that there's a starting point to the universe and that God is the one that's expanding it. But what happened is they're trying to come up with different theories, and this is what, in regards to the finding of the Big Bang, that there was actually a starting point to the universe, there's a guy named Dr. Robert Jastrow. Now, he was director emeritus of Mount Wilson Observatory and founder of NASA's Goddard Institute for Space. I love this. Have a listen to this. For the scientists who have lived by his faith in the power of reason, the story ends like a bad dream. He has scaled the mountains of ignorance. He is about to conquer the highest peak. He pulls himself over the final rock, and at the top of that mountain, he's greeted by a band of theologians who've been sitting there for centuries. Isn't that cool? That the Bible has been saying this for centuries, and finally the scientists get up and they just go, yeah, the universe has a starting point. And they just go, yeah, we know. We know. So we know that the Big Bang caused some stress for the scientists, but what they then decided to do, because they just can't bring God into the equation, they have to start to come up with other theories as to what actually caused the Big Bang and how the Big Bang actually then went on to allow for life to evolve and develop according to that theory. But there's two quick things that I quickly want to touch on this morning, just to try to emphasize this morning the bigness and the greatness of our God. So we leave out this place this morning that, yeah, God is everywhere, but God is so much bigger than what we can possibly comprehend. Two quick points. Whether you believe in the Big Bang, creation, we would say that there was a starting point. There's just a very clear starting point. That's something that they agree on. But what they cannot explain is what caused the Big Bang. Or how did that come about? Okay, so let me make it as simple as I possibly can. Help me out. Are you ready? Put your hand up if you're ready. Okay, good. If you have nothing and you mix it with nothing, what are you going to get? Are you sure? It's not a trick question, but apparently if you mix nothing and you do nothing to the nothing, you're going to get an explosion. Because no one can explain how the Big Bang came about. They've got their theories, but they are so ridiculously flawed, because what we're saying is that you're taking nothing, mixing it with nothing. So therefore, what we're saying, for an explosion like that, there needs to be an external force that operates out of sight of time, space, and matter for that to actually happen. But do you know what the fascinating thing is about bringing nothing, mixing it with nothing, and then sort of expecting an explosion? Out of that explosion, you were still expected to believe out of nothing that nothing happened to it but caused an explosion. That within that explosion that's expanding as we know it, inside that explosion, it's got all of the matter, everything required for what we touch, feel, see, hear today. Does that make sense to you? It's absurd, right? But like, I just find it phenomenal. I find it phenomenal that we have a God who is spirit, who operates outside of time, space, and matter. And he's declared that he is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He is the God who was and is to come. He's eternal. So for me, the Bible clearly gives us some pretty strong evidence as to why we are in existence today, that the scientists still only have theories. And I respect their intelligence. They're no doubt, they're so much smarter than me. But when you take nothing and mix it with nothing and expect this to happen, when the Bible actually says that our God, who is spirit, operates out of time, space, and matter, was the one that caused it all to come into being, I think it actually takes more faith to believe in nothing coming together to create. No disrespect, but at the end of the day, I'll make it clear, it still requires faith. So whether you have faith in a theory that you want to base your life on, or you want to take somebody's word, something that's man-made, a theory that you're putting your hope in, but you see, I choose to put my faith and my hope in the Word of God. At the end of the day, it is still faith. It still takes faith to believe this. But the Bible clearly teaches us that God is eternal, that He is the start and He will be the finish. He's the beginning and the end. The Big Bang theorists have still not been able to explain what caused or started and how that actually came about. But we believe that God started everything, that we know and see in creation, that He sustains it, and that He's responsible of not just being the starting point, but He stretches it out. Now, just the second thing I want to touch on this morning, because I kind of like went down my science nerd kind of route over the last few weeks and messing with this, but I pray this is an encouragement to somebody in this room, that science and faith are not mutually exclusive. Science and God's Word is not mutually exclusive. In fact, the Big Bang Theory itself, and you will be hit with a gazillion different kind of reports and research articles and different things, but the theory itself is on shaky ground at the moment on a number of levels. But let me remind you that the Word of God endures. A second bit of random trivia science data that's going to help you sleep better tonight is that they can't explain, but try bear with me again. If I had a balloon, right? We had balloons. If I had a balloon and I was blowing that balloon up, I'm putting air into that balloon and it's expanding. So that balloon is expanding into some element dimensions of this room, right? See, what scientists can't explain is, in fact, if you look up what is the universe expanding into, the answer you will get is it's a redundant question. Because if it was expanding into space, it would actually, space is inside the universe, so it can't be expanding into space because space, it would then be part of the universe. So they don't have an answer for what the universe, even though they agree it's expanding, they don't have a reason or they don't have an explanation for what it's expanding into. But when I blow up a balloon and the bigger it gets, it's encroaching into something, right? And as it gets bigger and bigger on the inside, there's something that scientists would call dark matter or dark energy. It's not dark because it's evil, okay? It's kind of conjures up a really dark matter. Rawr. Dark energy. Rawr. No, it's not like that. It's actually dark because it doesn't emit light. And if you think about within our balloon, the universe, and you've got the galaxies and the planets, and stars, it's got weight, it's got mass. And so dark matter itself is that matter that exists in between everything that is not seen, obviously, with the naked eye. And as you're about to hear, science does not have an explanation for or been able to find any proof or evidence that dark matter actually exists. But the force of it is actually there, because if dark matter wasn't there, dark matter, in a sense, actually stops the galaxies from just flying off in random ways. There's a gravitational aspect to dark matter and dark energy that means that things just don't fly off in random directions. Because, I don't know if you've noticed, but there's an order to our solar system. There's an order to galaxies and everything like that. Because if there wasn't that order, we'd be flying straight off of this planet pretty quickly. It's incredible how God has done that. Another bit of random information for you, if you want to really sleep really well tonight, is that usually when an explosion would take place, such as the Big Bang, matter would be scattered throughout the universe in a somewhat even. When you do an explosion, there's generally a fairly even distribution of matter after an explosion. But in the universe, you don't get that. You don't get, because you have a galaxy over here that's filled with matter, and you've got a galaxy over there, and you've got a galaxy, and there's large distances between them, and they're actually expanding at the same time. So there's not actually even distribution of matter throughout the universe. Did that make somebody feel good? Okay, let's move on, because you're with me and I don't want to lose you. But just on this whole thing about dark matter, which makes up the bulk of mass in our universe, have a listen to this. Wikipedia would say this, and you don't have to necessarily rely on Wikipedia as a reliable source, but most of the mass in the universe seems to be in the form of dark matter. Big Bang theory and various observations seem to indicate this is not made out of the conventional matter like we know of protons, neutrons, and electrons, but it's unclear exactly what it's made out of. Now, another reliable source, the Daily Mail, just joking. Anyone would know that the Daily Mail is not actually a reliable source, but interestingly, there was a study done, and they do reference it. That was an attempt at humour, by the way. But they reference a huge study, the biggest study that had been conducted at the time, of 400 stars that are around our sun as we know it. And they were trying to take a look at the light that was being emitted. They were trying to take a look at the atmospheres around those. And they actually began to say in this report, based out of the La Silla telescope in Chile, where they scanned 400 stars near our sun, they said dark matter is thought to make up around 83% of the universe by mass and to hold galaxies together, but a scan of 400 stars near our sun found no trace of it. It's a theory. But some of these theories are presented so convincingly that we just go, oh, it must be true. Like, don't fall for the media's trap of, like, if they tell you something often enough, it must be true. We need to think. A really reputable source, the Science Daily of April of this year, a research done by the Kavli Institute for Physics and Mathematics of the Universe, they said that 85% of the matter in the universe is made up of dark matter. Its gravitational force prevents stars in our Milky Way from flying apart. Have a listen to this. However, attempts to detect such dark matter particles using underground experiments or accelerator experiments have failed so far. So there's this huge amount of matter that we've got theories around, but no one's been able to pinpoint or find. Can I just go back for just a second to one of our opening verses, Colossians 1 verse 17. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. He holds all creation together. I mean, this is a bit of a crazy thought, and I know this is exactly what you're thinking. But dare I say that this unforeseen force that we can't pinpoint or identify, could it be spiritual in nature? Could it actually, they still can't find out exactly what it is. Numerous studies have been done, but they can't. But let's go back to our opening verse, and I am going to go somewhere and wrap this up. Hebrews 11:3. And just a little bit of emphasis added. By faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that, listen to this, the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. The things that we see were not made of things which are visible. That our God, who is spirit, operates out of time, space, and matter, speaks, and things come into being. What a creative God we've got. I mean, church, we have such a phenomenal God. That he speaks and the universe comes together. Not only does it come together, he starts it. He tells us he's stretching it out, and the scientists catch up to that eventually. But the Bible tells us that he's holding it together. Church, our God can do so much more than what we can dare to dream or imagine. He can do more in and through your life. He can do more in your marriage. He can do more in your family. He can do more at your school, your university, your workplace. There is more. There is more. You see, so if God is everywhere and he's in everything, right? So God spoke everything into being and he's there and he's in the dust of the earth. But we're told in Genesis 1-3 that God stoops down and he takes some of the dirt of the ground and he fashions and he forms and he makes a man out of it. But God's in the dust and dirt and he makes the man, so he's in the man. But then he actually, what does he do? He breathes into it. But he was already in the dust and the dirt that formed the man, but now he's breathing into it. You see, there's more. And so out of that, he shapes and fashions. He does a revised, improved model, and he gets woman. Amen to all the ladies. But we have, like, God does that, and then they disobedient and break relationship with God, so they're kicked out of the garden, and God could have obliterated, but he's a loving, caring God because he knows that he's got more for his kids. So he provides the way for mankind to stay in relationship with him. And as long as they stay in right relationship, as long as they're obedient to his commands, they experience incredible blessing from God. To the point that, church, there is more. He doesn't just say, like, do this, and if you do that, I won't smite thee. No, he says, if you're obedient, I will bless thee. Because our God's got more. Some of us think that when we give our heart to Jesus, that's where it ends. I'm secure, I've got my heaven ticket, I can just kick back, feed up, pina coladas. But do you understand there's so much more? This series that we're going to go into over the next few weeks, I want to kind of like just hopefully allow the Holy Spirit to bring revelation as to who you are, whose you are, and what he's actually created you to do and be and to experience and to be an agent for a revolution of love that he wants to bring about through this community and city. Because there's more, church. There is more. What you've experienced in the past, it could have been fantastic. Go you. But there's more. Because the God I read about doesn't just say, hey, obey me and I won't smite thee. No, obey me and I will bless thee. God actually goes, you know what? You need water? No problem. There's more. I can get water from a rock. Hey, you're hungry? I get it. I will give you fresh bread every single day. There's more. Not just one day, every day. Is this the God you believe in? That God has got more for you. He's got more for our city and our community. He's like, you know, cloud by day, fire by night, seas parting, dry ground. They didn't even have to walk across in mud. There is more. It's like enemies, scary, nasty, want to kill me. God says, got it, because there's more. Because there's more. You need healing? My people need salvation. God himself, God who is spirit, who operates in time, space, and matter, manifests himself in the person of Jesus Christ. I could go into so many other Old Testament illustrations. You need to hear from me? I'll get a donkey to talk to you. Do you know what I'm saying? There are so many examples that there is more, right? Have you got that? So Jesus comes in the flesh. God in the flesh comes. And he demonstrates to us that God's got more for us as humans. Because he loves us. His motivation is one of love. He loves us so much. He's a loving father that lavishes his love. He doesn't drip feed and dangle a carrot outside of our reach and play games with our life. He lavishes. And if your heart is open to his love, his grace, his peace in your life, he will pour more than you can handle. Do you hear what I'm saying? Church, there's more. There is more. Because not only that, you know, he says that when we worship, he will inhabit the praises of his people. But hang on a sec, God was in the dirt that fashioned the man, but then he breathed, and so he was in the breath, and then they kind of live, and he's provided more and more. And now you're saying that when we worship together, he's going to come, but he's already in everything. You mean he's going to come? Yeah, there's more. Where two or three are gathered, that were made up out of the dirt that he put together, that he breathed into, they went through and they experienced the more. When two or three are gathered, there I'll be in their midst. So there's more. And the day of Pentecost, I can't wait for June the 9th when we celebrate day of Pentecost. Tell you what, don't come that day if you're boring. If you want a life and life to the full, you need to be here on that day as we celebrate the day of Pentecost. Because you think, but Jesus has done all of that. He secured our salvation. And then on the day of Pentecost, there's more. Ephesians 6 tells us, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Greek tense meaning now. It is available to us now, here, now, because there's more. Church, there is. There is. What is God saying to you? What is God saying to you right now? Let's finish with this. There's more I could say, obviously, but I'm going to finish with this. Right now, in this place, I said from the beginning, and my prayer is that every single person in this room would just hear from God today in some way, shape, or form. And it can't be me. It's got to be the Holy Spirit that brings that revelation to your heart right now. What's he saying to you right now? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you in your circumstance, what you're facing, what you're going through? What is he saying to you? Now, are you listening? He's got more for you. He's got more. It's bigger than the cars, the house. I'm talking big. I'm talking about seeing this city one for Jesus. I'm talking about the name on everybody's lips is Jesus Christ. It's just seeing this community come back to the way that God intended it to be. One operating out of love and peace, reconciliation, forgiveness and grace. That's a pipe dream. Nothing's too hard for my God. I believe that God has called us to this city, not to just be a kind of token gathering of people that are ticking off a religious duty, but to see the power of God flowing through each of us on a daily basis, that you would impact your world. There is more. There is more for you. What's God saying to you now? Father, this morning, I just thank you for each person that's in this room. Father, I know you have been. Maybe you have already spoken really clearly to hearts in this room. But if there's anyone in this room right now that would say they haven't heard what you're saying to them yet, that we just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would now just come just with great clarity and just speak. There is more. We declare the bigness of our God, the greatness of our God.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.